Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. I'm Mrs. Susan, and I should also say at the same time, Happy New Year in advance. But in order for the 2019 to be new on the 1st of January, to be actually giving unique opportunities every day, 365 days, not just one day. What we need to do, among many other things, is to get to know ourselves better. When we say to get to know ourselves better, again, there are many ways to get to know ourselves. I'm focusing on emotion. The world has been obsessed with IQ for a very long time. And just now we have come to appreciate also the importance of EQ, emotional quotient. Recently, an American Buddhist teacher called Jack Confey, who was ordained and trained here in Mahasi Center, under Mahasi Center for 5 years, and then again in the Thai forest meditation tradition, a psychologist by profession with a PhD in clinical psychology. He is one of the most recognized meditation teachers in America. So recently he has said in one of his latest books, there are people who are highly intelligent, there are others who are highly educated, and even highly spiritual, but emotionally immature. How do you reconcile with someone being highly spiritual but emotionally immature? Okay, I may be following all sorts of rules and regulations described by my religion, or my friend from other religion, they may be doing the same thing. I'm a Buddhist chaplain to Oxford University, and I have many other non-Buddhist chaplains as my friends and colleagues. So we may be following the prescribed rituals and way of life and belief in our own religious tradition. But when it comes to facing, for example, uncertainty, maybe you're not quite sure now when the bus is coming because one bus has gone missing. So at that moment, how you are coping with uncertainty is an emotional intelligence issue. Okay, it's not a spiritual matter. And again, within your own tradition, there will be differences like we have in Buddhist tradition. There are many meditation techniques in Myanmar itself. All of them are valid. All of them have evidence to prove. But then you might subscribe yourself to one of them and reject the others, becoming so intolerant and perhaps so irritated when you hear about the other tradition. These are all about emotional immaturity, or shall we say about emotional intelligence. So not every highly educated person is emotionally intelligent. It's a specific training. Of course, we use here, I use the Buddhist meditation technique and also this kind of scientific research like Buddha's praying. This is the practical neuroscience of happiness, love, and wisdom. This is from Buckley. The Science of Meditation, this is by Daniel Goleman, the author of Emotional Intelligence, and Professor David Richardson from Wisconsin University. Both of them have been meditating for more than 40 years. So I rely both on neuroscience, psychology, and Buddhist meditation to offer you what I call today EQ development and mindfulness meditation. Getting to know our emotion is about getting to know ourselves. Especially when things don't go the way we expected. And things will not go the way we expected all the time. How can you predict 2019 100%? How can you predict that? President Trump is going to be running his country and the world economy in 2019. How the EU is going to be responding to the situation, how the Brexit is going to pan out, how the situation in China, in India, not to mention the ASEAN, are going to emerge. So we try to make decision. We try to make decision at every level to cope with those unpredictable circumstances. But the fact that we are making a decision means that things are not entirely predictable. Then what happens is that when things become rather uncertain, our habitual reactions such as worry, anxiety, and shall we say mindlessness, we come in. Mindlessness is the fact that we live in the past. We live in the past. We let the past experiences to govern us rather than to guide us. The past is very important, but it should not govern how we live, and operate in the present moment and how we design the future. So being guided by the past and being governed by the past, they are two very different things. Being, from a meditative point of view, being governed by the past means you operate from one determined set of rules. And more importantly, subconsciously. You're doing that subconsciously. So subconscious mind is highly associated with habitual reaction, habitual emotional reaction. Being guided by the past of experiences means we learn from the past, we notice what happened in the past, but we still keep ourselves open to other possibilities. So you are not entirely governed by the past. If we are to govern by the past, in the past decades, in the past 2 decades, 3 decades, we wouldn't be moving ahead. So then, in daily life, as you have to meet very often, as managers, as the senior managers, as the board of directors, all these things, to discuss things, because nothing is fixed. Things we have to be considered and reconsidered again and again, looking at other possibilities. So here, the past is a guide to us. The world economy has gone through since the Great Depression in America, and you know, and so on. These are all guidance that we can have. But that guidance, sometimes we tend to take it as governance that rule over us. So I remember one question that Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth put to economists, mostly professor at London School of Economics, who form, I think, more than half of the Committee of the Bank of England. The Queen simply asked, you know, why can't people predict 2008 economic meltdown? Very simple. So when people behave mindlessly in the real estate sector, in the banking sector, that sort of thing, you know, one single moment of mindlessness can lead to a lot of consequences. So then, of course, you know, I'm not going to be talking about these things, but just to illustrate how mindful we should be, especially at the leadership level of any significance. And the first benefit of EQ development, so knowing our own emotion, is resilience. Can you help me write down resilience? Just one. Resilience. Yeah. Resilience. This is the first benefit that we can have. Resilient here, it doesn't, it becomes dangerous if you try to translate this into Burmese resilience, because sometimes in Burmese when we translate this, people cannot distinguish between resilience and resistance. But in psychology, they mean a world apart. They mean, two different things. Resistance in psychology means you are not accepting things as they are. But resilience is about how you recharge your energy, how quick you recover. Okay, we all have emotional knockdown, if you like, and we got some heat from time to time during the day. We get irritated, we get frustrated, sometimes we get fed up with people like that. But how do you recover from that? And how quickly you do? This is a question of resilience, emotional resilience. This one starts from knowing what is happening here. In knowing this, we talk about two kinds of awareness of two dynamics. One is self-awareness, the other is social awareness. Self-awareness to know your own emotions. If you know that, you won't be carried away by that particular emotion. Irritation, you won't get carried away by your irritation. Frustration, the same. You will not get carried away by frustration. Otherwise, when frustration and agitation, when they arise, you will notice that a lot of negative thoughts arise. And if you start believing those negative thoughts, you have less emotional intelligence, less EQ. These are just temporary state of emotion that you are in. And how you manage that emotion will determine your day, perhaps your week. And then social awareness is how you are aware of the emotion of your colleagues, the people you are working with, including your customers. If someone says something that surprises you, then you need to be aware of it. I mean, you need to be able to guess the emotion of the person. Maybe the person is under pressure. Maybe the person is the person feels insecure. Maybe the person is insecure about uncertainty, feeling anxious about uncertainty. That sort of thing. Okay, if we can identify the emotion of our colleagues and try to relate to them. That understanding means everything. You will be able to determine the course of action. How to help the person to overcome that? How to soothe the situation? How to reconcile different opinions. So, social awareness is very important in the big companies like this. That's why the book Emotion Intelligence, written by Daniel Goleman with a PhD from Harvard University and who teaches his meditation since 1970s, in Mahasi tradition and Goenkaji tradition. The book which has sold nearly 30 million copies worldwide. His book, Emotion Intelligence, has become a manual, almost a manual for multinational corporate. Resilient, thank you. Beautiful. Resilient, this is very important, resilient. And in the Buddhist tradition, everything is built on knowing, is built on awakening, is built on knowledge. So if we're aware of our emotion, okay, that awareness is a form of knowing, is a form of awakening. We are awakening to the status of our original emotional reality. So now I think this much is sufficient as a form of introduction. Now I would like to introduce you to mindfulness practice. You can call this meditation, or you can simply call this mindfulness practice. And we are going to do very short meditation, but we are going to do a few sessions. Each time just 5 minutes, okay? You can time with your mobile phone. The reason I encourage you to do just 5 minutes is because I want you to meditate or to do this practice at work. If you don't do at work, if you're going to postpone until you have your holiday once a year, you will have accumulated a lot of negative emotion and negative emotional habit. So it's better to meditate every now and then, 3 minutes, 5 minutes during your working hours, because you spend most of your time at work. And this is where you develop emotional habits, either positive or negative. This is where you do. Unless you enjoy your work, unless you have job satisfaction, you won't be able to find happiness in your life. And here, when we say mindfulness practice, we are not talking about being able to focus and concentrate on one object for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. No. We are talking about how quickly you can identify, you can catch up with your emotion and then manage them properly. But first we are going to begin with mindfulness of the body. Mindfulness of the body. We are going to be aware of the body. Okay, the body. If the physical body is tired, if the physical body is rigid, if you feel any numbness, any pain, okay. I forgot to tell you, if you find it difficult to sit on the floor, you're welcome to sit on a chair, okay. And just help yourself. It's okay to sit on a chair. The Buddha would say that you should be mindful in every posture. That means that it's not confined to sitting. But in Burmese, we don't have a word for meditation. So we say dhyapana, meaning dhamma sitting. Sit dhamma sitting, okay. That becomes inscribed in our mind, and we all associate meditation with sitting posture. So the first I'm going to describe the instruction. First is just observe breathing. Breathing, you can breathe in gentle and slow. You can count 1 to 5. And breathe out again, slow and gentle. Count 1 to 5. But when you breathe in and out, just to ensure that your motivation is right, you should be breathing with compassion for the physical body. This physical body needs a lot of oxygen. And by breathing in, we take in oxygen. By breathing out, we release a lot of toxin from our body. So we're just doing this. There is nothing Buddhist, nothing Hindu, nothing Christian, nothing Islamic at all in breathing. Everyone just has to breathe. Okay, everyone has just to breathe. So breathing in and out, just to supply oxygen to the body. The body that can feel tired after a few hours of work. The physical body that needs recharging every now and then, certainly every day. In many ways, through food, through liquids, through rest and sleep and many things. So, being aware that this physical body is actually vulnerable, not invisible. So you breathe in and out, in and out, slow and gentle. And after that, you can look at the muscles around your body, around your head, around your forehead, around your eyes, around your cheeks, your chin, if they are tense. If they are tense, then with kindness, with compassion, acknowledge them. Okay, this is tension. This is tiredness. This is accumulation of tiredness. Accumulation of tiredness. And you do the same with the other part of the body. If the muscles in your shoulders are tense, if the muscle in your thighs tense and straight, if you feel uncomfortable, uneasy with your posture, because in everyday life, even during the meeting, during the working hour, we do experience discomfort, physical discomfort, and we move around every now and then because of this discomfort. So being aware of the physical body, the physical discomfort, is the easiest thing. We can just start with breathing. What we can do for 5 minutes, okay? I'm going to time it now. Breathe in and out, slow and gentle. If you like, you can breathe like we do in Mahasi tradition, noticing the rising and falling of the tummy. When you breathe in, your tummy rises out. As you breathe out, the tummy falls. We are not trying to get anything, not even concentration, but just to get to know the physical body, just to supply enough oxygen to the needed lung. Just bring your attention to how your body is touching the floor. Sense of touch. And whether there is sense of comfort or discomfort. Then just return to breathing. 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes. And one thing, when we observe the physical body, such as tiredness, tension, tightness, discomfort, one thing that we have to bear in mind is that to be non-judgmental, not to judge good or bad. Because of this, because it's uncomfortable, it doesn't mean it's bad. Usually we think it's bad whenever we feel uncomfortable with our physical body. But actually, it may be just a simple message that the body is trying to give you. Without any pain, we wouldn't be able to look after our body. How do we know that we sit too long? It's from the pain. How do we know we walk too long? Also from the pain. How do we know we are hungry, we need some food? It's from pain. How do we know we need to stop eating, we have eaten enough? Also from pain. So pain is actually very important, very positive side of life in many ways. But people usually associate pain with just negativity. There's nothing positive to them when it comes to pain. So that's why we say being judgmental and also negativity bias. We are so biased towards negativity when it comes to pain. So this kind of biases and prejudices we have in our mind because we are not mindful. We react to pain, any pain, mindlessly, that is to say. When that happens, resilience, the recovery from any emotional hit, any emotional setback, way be slow. So the next exercise, the next 5 minutes, we will be observing our own thoughts. Okay, our own thoughts. When you see your mind wandering during the 5 minutes sitting, don't fight with your thought. Don't fight with your wandering mind. No fight. And don't ignore that either, sort of no flight. Fight or flight, as Charles Darwin says, associated with survival instinct. So don't fight with wandering mind. What you need to do is just to recognize it, to acknowledge it. Okay, this is wandering mind, this is automatic mind, just acknowledge it. Don't believe it straight away and don't reject it straight away. Don't reject it straight away. Because any thought deserves some attention. So just give bare attention, non-judgmental attention, non-judgmental acknowledgement to your thought. This is automatic thought, this is automatic thought, this is automatic thought. Perhaps you will be also drawn to the contents of your thought. Then you can observe the content of your thought. But first, observe the behavior of your thought. Behavior of your thought. Be non-judgmental. No fight or flight. In psychology, they even say freeze. Fight, flight, and freeze. Freeze is okay when you do fight and flight and then you don't succeed, then freeze. This is we can leave that up now. judgment, not to add any value to that, not to evaluate your automatic thoughts. If you evaluate them, because these thoughts, they are automatic thoughts, they come from your subconscious mind, you will be evaluating your thought all the time, and you will tire yourself. Your mind will have no chance to rest. Perhaps you will get caught up in the cycle of restless thoughts. So the mindfulness meditation, what we know as the Dipitan, is actually just to acknowledge it without judging good or bad. If there's anger, just observe, okay, this is anger, this is anger. Not to say anger is bad, not to say anger is good either, but just to see how anger is changing your thought, your emotion, the way you look at your colleagues, the way you look at your world. Just to observe it objectively, not to label it good or bad. Then no fight or flight. Fight means not acceptance, no acceptance, but resistance. The neurologists who study Buddhist meditation, they will say, what you resist persists. Okay. If you resist your anger, say if you suppress your anger, or if you get carried away by your anger by blaming somebody else, it's likely your anger is going to last for a long time. So what you resist persists. Flight means you actually use up a lot of energy, all your energy, to run away from something. How you can afford using your energy that way? Every time you have negative emotion, if you're going to use flight as a strategy to cope with this. So no fight or flight. Then just acknowledge the behavior of your thought before you acknowledge the contents. The behavior is whether it's automatic or not, whether it's subconscious thought or conscious thought. Only these two. Only two behaviors. Subconscious thought is called mindless thought. Okay. It's called unfocused attention. Conscious thought is called mindful thought. You intend to think, so you are thinking. What we will be doing is to go back to breathing, to start with breathing, and then deliberately go back to one of the conversations that you had. Maybe yesterday you closed. Yeah, if you close, then the day for yesterday, or there was some Sunday, Saturday. So last week, okay, any conversation that you had at work, deliberately go back to that, and then you will see some behavior of automatic thought. You intend to think only one particular part, but then the others start coming in. So what you do then is to observe which thought is automatic, which thought is your conscious thought. This is important in trying to get to know your emotion. Okay. So the first thing is your thought. The second thing is, when you have that conversation, is there any significant emotion, especially like and dislike? In the group of dislike, there is irritation, frustration, uneasiness, maybe anxiety. dissatisfaction. And like, and the group of classification of like, the emotion of like, that one includes approval that you feel you should give it to someone. And feeling at ease like that. We are not judging good or bad. We are not saying dislike is bad, like is good. We are not saying this. We are simply trying to identify and trying to get to know them. But first, stay with breathing in and out, and then deliberately go to one of the conversation like that. You're going to see if you are prone to automatic thoughts, if you're prone to that. If you get carried away by any thought, just recognize that, okay, now I get carried away by an automatic thought, and simply return back to breathing. Just return to breathing. Okay, we're going to do another 5 minutes, and hopefully after that we have the last session, which is on pure emotion. So breathe in and out slow and gentle. You may now revisit one of the conversation, maybe during the meeting, during consultation.
in this town. We don't have a lot of time and to go into the next session straight away. This is to develop self-awareness and social awareness. And here, I'd like to bring to your awareness the importance of positive thinking. So you're going to be observing the hard work that you individually have put into the company, your role, okay, each and every one of you. So think about how best you have done, you know, to develop the company further and to care, to take care of the customers. So to revisit that and to rejoice in that. People don't do this enough. So in October in Madrid, in Spain, one mother was telling me that actually she was asking my advice how to talk with her son. I said, is there any problem with your son? And she started telling me. At the end of the conversation, I said, I don't see any problem listening to you. Maybe there is a son. She said her son is very good in the subject that he's interested, but he wouldn't do anything in the subject that he's interested in. So that's in the school. And does he do any sport? Yes, in anything he's interested, he's very good, not in others. I think this is so normal. Is any problem with this? And she said, okay, she wants him to be good in all the subjects. Okay, if you want to improve him in that, you better start with something positive. Trying to discuss about the thing that he does very good. The subject, the sport that he enjoys. Talk to him about that and give him positive comment. Any time you talk to your son, start with something positive. She says she has never done this. She has never looked at her son that way. So I actually devise a new meditation method. It's in Spanish, Cuatro Minutos Meditation. It's a 4 minutes meditation. 1 minute when you wake up before you get up. Think about something good, something that you have already done, already accomplished. You have already been successful. At work, in life, with education, anything, just think about it. Give yourself 1 minute, because that moment you usually think about what you have to do during the day. You haven't even got time, you are not at work yet, the stress level is already up. So in order to prevent that, just think about something that you have already accomplished, that will preserve your energy, that will ensure that you retain resilience. The second thing is, before you go to work, you know, people are so much in a rush, preparing for the day's work. So that's another time when the anxiety is so high. So before you leave home, think about one thing good, one thing satisfying about your job. And then leave home, okay, go to work. So you start the day with positive emotion. The second, after the day's work, Just before you return home, think about one thing that you have accomplished during the day. You may have many other things, okay, on your list, on your to-do list, and perhaps you know, a lot more things piling up. But there must be one thing that you feel good about. Make a habit of connecting with that. So 3 minutes each minute, each time just 1 minute, 3 minutes. Sorry. The last one is before you go to bed. Usually people, when they get home, they share with their family about problems. Not so much about the good thing, because usually we are negativity biased. We are biased to negativity, we remember more of negative things than positive ones. So now what I'm going to be doing with you is to ask you to think about 2018, because you're going to be saying goodbye to the year very soon. To think about 2018, your own contribution. And then your best friend's contribution. And then your colleagues. Okay, one or two your colleagues. Three already. Okay. First is yourself, second is your best friend, third is your colleagues. The fourth one is your competitor. Not in this company, but from other companies. Trying to see how they contribute to the economy, to the people, to the convenience of people's life. Trying to think of that way. Because they, unless and until you can do that, they hold the string of your emotion. They can shape your emotion anytime. So four things, okay? This one, straight away, we go into thinking something positive, something we are proud that we have done. Five more minutes.
Program number four. Next question and answer question.
Just 1 second.
Sandy requests to see the request that you answer questions by audience. Audience are also invited to send me questions related to the topic to Seattle.
Can you pass back the microphone? What about you? You don't have any question?
Earlier was just to take just 1 minute, exactly 60 seconds. Exactly 60 seconds. And the reason why I want you to do this is when you're in a rush, your brain is operating from this point. It's called old brain. It's in the scientific term, it's called amygdala. You will be operating from this. In a state of anxiety, in a state of fear. So that's the region of the brain that is more active when you're in that situation. If you do that, say for the whole 2018, you are training your brain to operate from this region. These scientists who work on meditation and neurology, they say neuroscience's evidence that our experiences shape our brain. And a platform supporting our theory that meditation, that as a meditation trains the mind, it reshapes the brain. So if you allow your mind to operate from that region, you will be in a state of anxiety, most of the time, unnecessary. Something that you can do calmly, you will be doing that anxiously, simply because the experiences in daily life, the rational experience, has shaped your brain that way. Because your brain will know very little how to calm down. And this part of the brain, the cortex, prefrontal cortex, is associated with calming, with connection. connection early, the last part of the meditation, you know, we're trying to connect with the joyful feeling and the contribution of our colleagues, our friends, even the company, okay, opposite us. So this part of the brain stays tuned with what's going on around us without increasing anxiety. So these are our brain. Remember, if this part of the brain is active, this one is not. If this one is more active, then it will be growing. This one will be shrinking. Will be shrinking. You will see some people in their 40, 50, 60. They can't imagine, okay, how not to be anxious. They can't imagine, because that's part of them. So now, these scientists, they are saying that it's possible for you to reshape your brain. But the way to do that is to reshape your mind. Reshape your mind. So that is from rush, from rushing to calmness. Because they are just state of emotion. You may give a lot of excuses and because of the time, this and that. Okay, everyone can afford 60 seconds. Everyone can afford. If you can't, I buy you 60 seconds for 5 days and you will change your brain. And yes.
Talk about this. Either governing or guiding,
yes,
guiding the current actions. So, how can we differentiate more between this guidance and the governance? Could you give some examples so that we are clearer on the difference between the guidance and governance?
Okay. Whenever you talk about past experience, you just observe the emotion. If the emotion is negative, that means, okay, you let the past to govern you. But if the negative emotion is not that strong, you will be in a position to analyze the past experience more objectively. So the past will be your guidance, not okay, something to govern you.
So maybe can I understand this way? So if I were to be looking at one of the person or one of the colleagues, and while looking at that person, I'm developing some anger or some
exactly.
Some now, negative emotions.
The past govern you,
the
yes.
Even if I had an argument with that person yesterday, but when I look at that person, if there's no anger or no negative emotion, that means it's not governing my
actions. Yeah, exactly. And to talk about history, Myanmar history, we're going to be celebrating Independence Day in a few days. Over 7 decades. If you look at the past history with bitterness, that means the past is governing you. But if you look at and see, because if you're governed by the positive emotion, you're going to be one-sided in looking at the history. But if the negative emotion like anger, hatred, if those things, they don't rule over you, they don't govern you. If you can work on those emotions, then whenever you analyze the history, you will be objective. You will see the shortcoming on both sides, the good thing on both sides, that sort of thing. That's what we say, the past can be a guidance. We can still have more questions.
If you have more questions, I can skip my lunch today.
I just only have one. So we have asked for the retreat that Emma Bank has booked. So since then, I've been meditating every day, before going to work, but not at the end of the day. But from what I have experienced and like grown so far in this long time, is to knowing my feelings and knowing when other people are angry, why they are angry, and understanding mostly about social awareness. But I want for the next step of this self awareness, when I have social awareness now a little bit at a time, I want to motivate my colleagues and the team that I'm working with around this idea that I want to have in mind, how I can start motivating them in understanding this concept and also understanding the social harmony as well as the motivation around that.
I understand, you know, we can relate more to negative emotion than positive one. But in this situation, I would advise you to start with something positive. Positive, to think about their contribution, that they are making differences. Okay, being part of here, for example, you know, this company, City Park Ocean, you're making a cultural change, you're making a lot of differences. It's more than the convenience that you provide. And, you know, a lot of, you know, the work practices, you know, that you've introduced, these are all contribution to the country. Then everybody is part of this. So if you do this and remind them that they are actually a part of this team, they appreciate it, ask them to meditate on this, I sometimes what I do with my team back in England or elsewhere is that I would try to do some research. Sometimes we would have very critical issues to discuss, to make decisions, whether to take out a bank loan for a certain project, whether to expand here and there. You know, all of it involves some pressures. Then sometimes deliberately I wouldn't do this 2 minutes mudita meditation, appreciative meditation. I wouldn't do this. When I don't do this, people are not in a position to connect with each other. And they are so risk adverse. They don't want to take risk at all. Then there are times when I say, okay, look, so far we have come this, as we have done this together, we have been successful, we have been punching above our weight, and we will be doing 2 minutes meditation. Just observe your contribution in this success, and then try to appreciate other people's success. So we do 2 minutes meditation. I have observed every time we do this, we can discuss big issue, okay, without clashing with each other. And people have more tolerance, meaning more resilience in the meeting, because sometimes a board meeting, a board of directors meeting can be very heaty. So even from the manager to his or her staff, if you start with something positive like this, people are more receptive. if you call meeting of like team meeting in the morning, like in school in England, in private school, the headmaster would call a meeting, and they would just be standing in the tea room, no proper sitting like this. Then he would start with some appreciation. Then give them 1 or 2 minutes just to be with their thoughts and to relate to the success of their colleagues. Usually, during that moment, if the principal wants to introduce something drastic, he is successful. He is successful because he prepared them emotionally. When people are joyful, when they feel they are appreciated, they have more courage to take on more pressure. Otherwise, any added pressure is looked at with a lot of suspicion. These are all emotions. These are all EQ issues.
You can have mine.
So it says no more questions. Let me continue to program number 5. May I have your request to CEO, co-CEO and finance director to offer the donation to Seattle and Canada? So now it's program number 6. Program number 6 is to share the inner rate with all beings for the donation, possible caring for the water. May I have a request to Seattle with respect for sharing the rate with all
beings? ဒီတော့တို့ဒီမိမိအကျိုးသူတို့ပါအကျိုးကိုယ်မင်းဤအကျိုးတိုင်းဒီအကျိုးတို့ဒီတို့ရဲ့ဘုဆောင်ရဲ့နိုင်ကြတော့ဘုဟုထူဘုဟုမြတ်ပြေပါစေတာအရှင်ဘုရားဒီနေ့ယခုဒီပြုသမ्या ဒီကူအားလုံးဤဘုပါကားကိုယခုဘဝရှေးရှေးဘဝတောဆန်းကြတော့အမိအဖာ phụ công quan xây dựng tập mang siêu như nhà được cả san thay yên được cả để biết được độ ý quân thân nhà khách tập mang nhà anh có muốn thay yên được cả không sẽ được bầu trên lên cha công tổ quý niệm tu kỳ ta tu kỳ ta tân châu hòa hậu đủ an nhà âm nhà vì vị cao và ý âm nhà gia vị bồ đề tâm cha chan cha phật ma chan cha ta ta si cha ba si tu nào
You are the champion of the world.